You know, I was just thinking about today, and it's July 4th, 1776 was when the United States of America became a nation. And I pulled out my calculator to make sure that I did it right, 2020 minus 1776. And I came up with 244 years. Am I correct on that? Math people, am I? Yes, no? All right, around 200. Some people are like, I don't know, don't care. All right, anyway, 244 years, I think it is. All right. Now, why did all that happen? Well, it's because of the tyranny of England, what was going on there. You had a king who really didn't have any regard for the people that were here. And the people here said, no, we are no longer going to submit to that earthly king. We're going to follow a different principle and go a different direction. Now, that compares a lot to our walk with Jesus. Because when we come into this world, the Bible says that we're all born in sin. And we're submitted to the prince of this world, who is Satan. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this stuff up. That's what the Bible says. And so we're submitted to his rulership and his authority. And the world basically operates under his principles and his ways of doing things. But then an event happens in every Christian's life, in every person that's accepted Jesus, where they rebel against that prince of darkness. And they submit to a new king, King Jesus, and become born again. So what a great comparison, isn't it, to think about that? But here's the reality of it. Just as when the United States became a new nation, it wasn't that they knew how to do everything right off and could function and everything was hunky-dory. In fact, there was a big fight that happened, wasn't there? And so it's the same for us. As we rebel against the prince of darkness and begin to walk with Jesus, the prince of darkness doesn't want to let us go. And he will do everything he can to tempt us and test us and have us go through all kinds of different things. But yet the Word of God says this, that nothing escapes our Father's notice. And that anything that happens to you and I is filtered through his hands of love. Amen? And we need to remind ourselves about that. Sometimes we're so focused on whatever the bad thing that's going on, we're so focused on it that we forget how good God is. Listen to me. God is good, and how often is God good? All the time. He's always been that way, and he always will be. And the thing is, sometimes we get fixated on things like COVID and other things that are going on in the world, and we forget to fix our eyes upon him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, what are we going to be talking about today? I believe that we need to be talking about the power of our testimony. You heard one testimony already. Chris Golden just shared just a snippet of how Jesus changed his life. Let me tell you something. God is still in that business still today. Amen? I've heard it said that, the world would say this. You come into the world with nothing, and you leave with nothing. That's not true. That's actually a lie from the pit of hell. Because the next line usually with people like that is, well, then you might as well eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. That kind of mentality that you just might as well live life to the fullest now because you came with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing, so that's how you should live. Let me tell you something. That's not the way God says it for you and I. We may have come into the world naked physically, but we were dressed with a plan of destiny that God had for each and every one of us. God had plans of purpose before we yet lived one day. God knew each one of our days and how they should be. That's amazing when you think about that. That's God's plan. And then when we get to the end of this life as we breathe our last physically and we enter into the next life of all of eternity, that destiny is all ahead of us of what God's got for us. So what are we to do here? We're to live out the plan of God in this life. That's what God has called you and I to do. And let me tell you something, that prince of darkness that I talked about earlier, he's doing everything he can to hinder you and stop you and suffocate you to keep you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. You know why? You're a light in the darkness. You're a city on the hill. That's what the Bible says we're to be. And so if he can snuff out the light and make you live in the valleys, then you're not able to do what God's called you to do. And so your testimony, your story of coming to Jesus is one of the most powerful tools that you have against the enemy. Both to remind yourself of what God has done, and also to help those around you to assure them and encourage them that there's hope in their dark place as well. Now, one of the issues that we all face is this, that, well, hold it, my life's still screwed up. The pastor knew, I'm still a mess. Well, here's the thing. God is in the business of taking your mess and my mess and turning it into a message to be able to touch those around us. Just as he takes tests in our lives and turns those tests into testimonies. It's all good, folks. We need to come back to a place of realizing how good God is and to fix our eyes upon Him and to remind not only ourselves, but those around us. And so that's why we're here this morning. In a sense, to encourage one another and remind ourselves that our testimony is powerful. There's a scripture in Psalm 66, verse 16, says this, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul." So here's David, you know, saying, look, come and listen of all the things that God has done in changing my life. And if you look at David's life, can I tell you, it was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But God had touched him. God had changed him. Has Jesus changed your life? Put your hand up if Jesus has changed your life. All right, for every hand that's up, that means that you have a testimony of an event, of something that's happened in your life that has changed you and changed the outcome of your entire future. It's amazing. We need to remind ourselves of these things. Because let me tell you something. As day by day goes on and difficult things happen, like what we're in right now, sometimes it's hard to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, His goodness, and His love towards us. And so with that in mind, we've got two people who are going to briefly share their story of how God brought them from being under the prince of this world to being submitted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So put your hands together. We're going to have Brian Bovee come up first. He's going to share for a few minutes with us.
Amen. Great to see you guys here. As Ben said, it's a pleasure to be a part of what's happening here at Reach Out. I am delighted to share my testimony. And a testimony is not just what God did, but what God is continuing to do and what He's going to finish, what He started at the end. Amen? Yep. Well, I want to share with you, I'm going to be doing a lot of bragging this morning. Hope you're okay with that. A lot of boasting. But the boasting and bragging that I'm talking about is not about me. Is but what God has done in me and through me. Amen. Amen. You know, when you think about it, when you think of a team that won, they get the bragging rights. You know, when you think of a builder who builds a house, it's not the house, it's the builder that gets the bragging rights. Well, I'm on the winning team. And I've got the King of Kings, the chief architect, the chief builder, who's on my side, who's fighting for me, who's chasing after me, who's working in me to be the person that God has called me to be. When Carl asked me to do the testimony, I'm like, okay, well, how do I put 39 years of serving Christ in just a two-hour sermon? I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'll do the best I can to try to keep it short to you guys. 39 years. That's a long time. You know, and I'll tell you that through all those times, it's not always just a rosy, wonderful, great. But to tell you what, though, I would not have it any other way. Without Christ, I would be nothing. Without Christ, obviously, I wouldn't be standing up here today and sharing all the blessings and all the goodness that God has done in my life. Where does it start? Where do we begin? Well, you know, I'm come from a typical divorced family. My mom and dad divorced when Rick and I, my brother, were 5 years old. And, of course, my mom, working as hard as she could, did whatever she could to support Rick and I working. And so at a really young age, we were considered latchkey kids, if you remember that thinking, that we'd come home from school. My mom would be working until 6, 7 o'clock at night, and Rick and I had all the time in the world to do whatever we want. And, of course, you know what that means. When you got all the time in the world, that's when trouble starts. And so it really, you know, we start off at a young age becoming delinquents, you might say. You know, I was raised in a family where God really wasn't spoken of. We weren't really taught. Although my brother went through CCD, I was never really taught about God, never really was encouraged to go to church. And as early as I can remember, God was not really even a part of our conversation. So with that said, we just kind of lived life doing whatever we thought was best in our own eyes. And with that said, you know, Rick and I started down a road of hanging around the wrong people, wrong crowd, getting into trouble. And even in my preteen years, I found myself starting to drink, starting to do some drugs, crime. And by the time I was 15, I was running from the law. You know, I was breaking and entering. Surprisingly, yes, Brian, breaking and entering. I was arrested, handcuffed. But I'm going to stop right there, because that is not anything next to what God has done next. Here's the cool part of this whole thing. While this was happening, at 15 years old, spiraling out of control, God was at work in the heart of my father. My father, you know, was around, but he wasn't around, as you might say. He'd come visit us every other weekend, and then 2 weeks out of the summer, we'd have time, vacation, camping, whatever cases, but he wasn't present in our lives. But here's the cool thing. God was at work at his heart at the same time that God was doing something in me, and I couldn't see it. Through a series of events, my father got saved through his brother, my Uncle George, and then started to work and talk into my brother's life, Rick. And then one day, my father invited me to church. He says, "Hey, Brian, would you like to go to church with me?" I said, "Okay." This is 1981, 39 years ago, 1981. At that time, for a lot of you guys, there was no cell phone. There was no internet, no TikTok or whatever you call it, Instagram. And when we did music, there was these boxes that we plugged into the radio, which only had 8 songs on it. If you remember the 8-track, that's how far this goes. So here's the cool thing. So my dad invited me to church, 1981, it was around springtime. And I remember it was Beacon Assembly of God. I think it's now called the Oasis. I think it was Pastor Jim Orstad. Now, I can honestly tell you, I don't remember a thing that was said that day. Don't remember the sermon. Don't even remember what it was. But for somehow, some reason, the pastor said, "Hey, would anybody like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And I don't know why, but I saw my hand go up, right? And he said, "Okay, that's not bad." He says, "Okay, all those who raised your hand, now I want you to come forward." Whoa, wait a minute. "Yeah, I want you to come forward, and we're going to pray over you." And so I went forward, and as we were praying there, this is so cool. I felt a hand come over onto my shoulder, and it turned around. It was my dad, you know, and that started off the legacy from which we are here today to talk about. From that point, me saying yes to Jesus, and if there's anything I want you to remember today, it's saying yes to Jesus. From saying yes to Jesus, it has set forever a new course for me, a new direction, not just for me personally, but for my family and for those around me. Through that, me saying yes to Jesus, God had opened up the doors for so many different things in my life. Ministry had opened up. You know, at a young age, I started doing music at a teen Bible study. I started getting involved with college, doing leadership teaching in college, and then became a deacon, and the list goes on and on and on. But what's cool about it is that through accepting Christ, God had made opportunities for me that he would never have done before. He gave me a beautiful wife who loves the Lord. As you see my son up here, he gave me a son who loves the Lord. And now his wife, Raina, serving and loving the Lord. My daughter, Rachel, loves the Lord, looking forward to being in ministry. I see Danielle out there. What has happened? Because through what God has done, he's opened up in all different avenues. I can see Marianne and Anthony. I mean, when Carl said that, you know, naked we come into this world, naked we leave, truth is, I'm taking my family with me, and I'm taking my friends with me, and all those who I can share the gospel with. I'm not leaving this world alone. I'm leaving with the great family of God. And the hope is that we will all be gathered someday together again and to share in that great, big, happy day. What God has done is something that it's not of my doing. You know, he's the one. It says in Ephesians, let me just read this. This was kind of caught my eye this morning. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Everything that God's got for me is mine and through Christ Jesus. Because we are united in Christ Jesus. Even before the world began, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. What's cool about this is that God, even while I was yet a sinner, while I was doing my own thing, God was pursuing me. God was chasing after me. And God reached out and plucked me at just the right time. There's so much more that I could really share, and there's just no way that you can do it in 5 or 10 minutes, whatever the case is. But at another time, at another occasion, I'd be delighted to share with you the full account of what God has done in my life and what he continues to do. Amen.
Amen. You can hear from Brian's story and maybe even comparing it to yours. There might be some similarities. Hopefully you didn't rob too many places, but you know, some similarities and some different things. You know, but the reality of it is there's a uniqueness to each and every one of our stories. And that's what I love about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he knows that and he meets us on that particular day at that particular church at that particular moment. That was your moment. Now, I hope that each and every one of you can remember that moment. It might have been in a church, might have been in a house. I know there's one guy that was in a bar. You know, he was in a bar, and God spoke to him and said, this is the last time you're going to be in this place. You're coming out with me now. And his life was changed immediately after that. But the reality of it is that when we have an encounter with Jesus, it begins a new chapter in our lives. And so we want to now have another person share their story again, a little bit different. But there's some similarities in that there's a BC, before Christ. You have an encounter with Christ. And then an AD, in a sense, you're after the death of your old person and you're walking with the new Jesus. So, Robin, you want to come up? Robin Stanzioli, put your hands together for her.
Good morning. Excited to be here today. I've shared my testimony at times, and I will go through a really long list of things. I'm going to make that part of it short today. I am the oldest of 6 children, born in 1955, telling you my age. Times were different then. I had a younger sister who got saved. She was probably around 15. God was drawing Chris and I. We weren't ready, but I was watching, listening, thinking she was crazy because she changed from here to here, but it really spoke to my heart and I was starting to get drawn. To make a long story short, in my life, I had something happen to me as far as when I was 10 or 11 in a molestation multiple times against my will. I can talk about it freely today because Jesus has healed me, set me free. I have no pain. I've forgiven that man. The other thing is, there were drugs. Well, let's say, picture an epitaph. I have an epitaph, okay? My epitaph says, here lies Robin Stanzioli. Shame, guilt, drugs, alcohol, threatened life, almost killed, rejected, abused, verbally, physically. That's on my epitaph. That person died.
Amen.
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 It's over there. So when I heard my sister get saved, and I heard her speaking in tongues in the shower one day, and I had a Jewish uncle, and I've shared this with many people, This is part of my testimony as well as hers. She fasted with just water for an entire week for her family. She prayed and fasted for an entire week because she loved her family. None of us knew Jesus. She was on fire for God. And she was on her face every day. And she was in the shower singing one day in tongues. I never heard of tongues. I was raised in a denominational church, never heard of it. I come down, so my uncle, who is Jewish by marriage, comes down white as a ghost. He's now passed on to be with Jesus. He ended up, because of this, gave his heart to Jesus. And he says to my dad, he says, Frank, do you know what she's doing up there? Because his ear was to the door. He ran up there, put his ear to the door. And he came down white like Chris's shirt, pale as a ghost. And he goes, she is speaking the most perfect Hebrew I have ever heard, better than any rabbi I have ever heard. She was singing the high praises to her God. And she sang a song that only God knew. That was a little children's song, because he grew up Jewish. It was a Jewish song. So they were all testimonies. It says, tongues is a sign to an unbeliever. He was an unbeliever. So to make a long story short, because of that, Chris and I got Bibles. We went home and read. After a month of reading and sharing with each other every night, I ran to my room after about a month. God drew me. He went to work. And I had an amazing, glorious experience with Jesus Christ. I cried like I have never cried in my whole life, from the depths of my soul. He forgave me for everything I could remember to repent of. He just flooded me with his love, his presence. That was the first time I ever felt his holy presence. I didn't want it to stop. I didn't want him to leave my presence in my room that day. When I got up off that floor, I was like a feather. I felt like washed. I felt like clean again. And the reason I ran to my room was John chapter 3. John chapter 3 says, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. When I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I got to that verse, I said, well, I guess I'm not going up. I'm not lining up here. My life's not lining up. So that's when I repented and I said, God, I want to go to heaven. John chapter 3 was my rhema word that day. So I want to share about, it's been a long adventure, a long road to this point in my life. Not going to lie, there's been bumps in the road. He never said it would be easy. But that person over there is dead. I'm never going back, ever. I made a decision. Nope, I don't care how hard it gets. I just keep going this way. And sometimes the bumps are harder. But we never give up in Jesus Christ. He never gives up on us. So I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. And I did a little bit of study on this morning and yesterday. Colossians chapter 3 is one of my favorite scriptures. I mean chapter 1. Sorry. Verse 13. I'll read it first and then I'm going to go through it again. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When I looked up the Strong's and the Greek words on these words in this couple sentences that I was reading, the word has rescued means to rescue, deliver from danger or destruction. If you go in there and you look at the word dominion, I can't pronounce the words because they're Hebrew or Greek. from force, competency, capacity, mastery, or influence. If I look at of darkness, darkness means either physical or moral darkness, shadiness, obscurity. Kingdom means royalty or rule. And beloved, he brings you into the beloved, the king of the son he loves, is affection or a love feast. Chris, can you come here a minute? Before I knew Jesus Christ, like Pastor Carl was saying, there is a war for your soul. I should be dead. On my 21st birthday, my life was threatened. I should be dead with a knife. But Jesus, I cried out that day, not even knowing him. I said, Lord, if you're real, get me home. Within 3 weeks, I was home. Within a few months later, I met him. God had a plan. So, come here, him. Well, this is also, hi. Well, actually, when I had my wonderful experience with Jesus Christ that day, I called him up at work and I told him what happened to me, and he started to cry because God was dealing with him. And he's not one to do that very much. And he came home, he said, Rob, my face was glowing because of God's presence. His presence was so strong in my room, I was afraid to open my eyes. I didn't even want him to leave. My whole room lit up. I was afraid. It was a godly fear. And when Chris was sitting at the table with me, he says, I'm going to lose you. And this is how we were at that table some 40 years ago. And I said, well, come with me. He said, okay. Here we are. But this is what Jesus says. I want to give you a picture. You have a war going on in your life if you don't know Jesus Christ. And when you don't know Jesus Christ, you're in the dominion of darkness. Your eyes don't see clearly, you don't hear clearly. But this is what Jesus does if you say yes to him in your heart of hearts. And what that is, he rescues you. He takes you from that kingdom of darkness. He rescues you and pulls you, snatches you into the kingdom of the Son he loves for the forgiveness of sins. Because when you come to Jesus Christ, when he rescues you out of that dark kingdom, he brings you into a royal kingdom. A royal kingdom. He dresses you in robes that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. He fills you with gifts of the Holy Spirit. He fills you with life and life more abundantly. With Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful adventure. As hard as it gets at times, he's my adventure. He's my rescuer, my redeemer, who washed me in his blood and set my feet on a rock that's higher than I. I'm never going back. It tries. But we have to take a stand and say, no, he that's in me is greater than he that's in this world. Right?
Amen.
He's given us a power that's from heaven. He's given us a name that's above every name that heals and sets the captives free. Amen. What? 40 years what?
No, you said 40 years, some 40 years ago.
Yes. March 1980.
Awesome.
That's
in a few minutes, we're going to be closing, but I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. You know, we did this with a purpose, and it's interesting what Robin shared. We didn't collaborate at all with the scriptures or what I was going to say as an introduction or anything. But, you know, when I talked about the Prince of Darkness, that was a word from the Lord that God specifically gave me to talk about. And here's Robin closing up with that same thought, you know, the idea that was snatched from the kingdom of darkness. And that wasn't planned or coordinated. That's the Spirit of God. That's how God works if we'll let him in and through our lives, not just in church, but at our jobs, with our families, in our relationships, if we will just allow him to work in and through us. It's the most amazing thing. So I want to leave you this one scripture, and if you don't have your Bibles, you don't have your apps on, and maybe you can't even see the screens because it's so bright out here, but remember this, 1 John, all right, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, and it says this, "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Doesn't get any clearer and cleaner than that. But I want you to just hear a couple of thoughts in this. First of all, it says, this is the testimony. Well, who's speaking? Well, obviously, you know, the writer is speaking, but John, but he's anointed by the Holy Spirit to say what he's saying. This is God speaking. His testimony is this. His words to you is, "I've got life for you." That's literally what he's saying. This is the testimony that life is found in the Son. And if you will walk and live and breathe and flow in the Son, you will experience the abundant life. If you don't, you won't. That's just the reality of it. So I ask you today, where are you in your story? For many of you here, I know you. You're believers. You've accepted Jesus. You have a BC and an AD and an event where you met Jesus, all right, right there in the middle. And you're moving on with him. For some of you, you haven't come to that point of having that grave site, like Robin was talking about, where you've died to self and accepted Jesus into your life. Let me tell you something. You need to do it right here and right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. We are not promised any days here, but you decide here where you spend all of eternity. So right at this very moment, just with every head bowed, Father, you know who's here. You know us better than we know ourselves. You knew who was going to be here 1,000 years ago, who was going to be here at this picnic today. There are no accidents, Lord God, only divine appointments in you. And so, Lord, with every head bowed, if there be any person here that's at that point in their story where they know they need you, again, with every head bowed, just put your hand up. If you're in that place, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to, this is the time, this is the place to do it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, with your heads bowed still, let's go to the next step. There's anyone here where you know you've accepted Jesus. You've got no issue with that. You know Jesus is real in your life. But you've made some mistakes. You've made some U-turns, some corners that you didn't mean to make. And you found yourself in a place that you know God doesn't want you to be spiritually. Again, just with every head bowed, just put your hand up. And just, listen, I'm not going to make you come forward. I'm not going to do what that guy did to poor Brian. But I just need you to acknowledge to the Lord right here and right now. I see that hand back there. See that hand back over. I see those hands back to my right. See the one straight back. Anyone else? You're just putting your hands up to Jesus. That's what you're doing. This is between you and Jesus. It's not me. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, just keep those hands up just for a moment. Lord Jesus, you see those hands raised all around, and they're saying, "Hey, I've made some wrong turns. I've made a bit of a mess." But Lord, right now, I pray that they know that they're loved by you beyond all things, that though they've made a mistake or mistakes with an S, that Lord God, that you will never leave them, you'll never forsake them. And to get back on the road, to get back into the storyline, just means to turn back to you. And repent and make a decision to get on the road with you again. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, as each person is doing that in their own hearts, making that decision to get back into the storyline, back into your narration of their life, then Lord, that you'll not hold it against them, that they know that they're forgiven, they're cleansed, and they're set free by the blood of Jesus. for their righteousness is not of them, but of the Lord. Father, I thank you for each and every person that's making that fresh choice again to walk with you. So, Father, right now, we just thank you for our time together. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful day. We ask you, Lord, to bless the food that we're going to be consuming in a few moments. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Okay.